Again, I'm Ryan, one of the wonderful interns here. So I figured I'd get a chance to throw that in there. But I just want to thank you guys for giving me this chance to preach. So where are we? We are in Romans chapter 13. So if you've got a Bible or if you've got a little pamphlet, feel free to look in there. That's where we're going to be at today. So if you haven't been with us for this summer, we've been in a series called Renewed Life. Pastor Enoch and Pastor Ken have been kind of walking through us. What does it mean to have a renewed life? What does it mean to live as a Christian that's been renewed by the gospel of Jesus Christ? What does it mean to love genuinely? What does it mean to have new perspectives on people, on our gifts, our abilities? What does it mean to overcome evil? And today we continue that topic with the very relevant topic of government. If that's a little weird, kind of like Ryan preaching today after Pastor Ken and Pastor Steve, don't be surprised. I thought it was a little weird too when I first looked at it. I was just like, government? We've talked about renewed life. We've talked about love. We've talked about, you know, overcoming evil. Now we're talking about the government? Paul, what are you trying to do? So why don't you turn to the word with me and as I read it for you. We're in Romans 13, 1-7, reading from the English Standard Version. This is the word of the Lord. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that existed have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of the Lord, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Why don't you bow with me in a word of prayer before we begin? Well, Heavenly Father, thank you for this word, Lord. You know, talking about government, it's such a polarizing subject sometimes. It can divide people, it can cause rifts in friendships, Lord, but Paul here, I believe, has a reason for bringing this up, a reason to speak about this in our renewed life, in our renewed living, Lord. So, Lord, speak through me, speak to us through your Holy Spirit, Lord, and open our hearts to hear your word. Pray this in your son's wonderful name. Amen. So when I was younger, me and my sister, I think we're fairly obedient children, but there was this one rule, one kind of thing that we were given that we kind of didn't listen to, and that was our curfew / bedtime. So in like middle school, we had a bedtime about 10 p.m., which was okay, except for on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And the reason why it wasn't that great on Tuesdays and Thursdays is because there was a certain show that we wanted to watch at that time. That was Star Trek Voyager on UPN. If you don't know what any of those things are, you're either a lot cooler than me or a lot younger than me. But those are the two things that me and Jess really wanted to watch. And so we'd be in bed by 10, and then we would craftively, carefully, we'd have one lookout, usually it was me or Jess, one would look out, one would go sneak down, turn on the television, volume at the lowest setting where you can still hear what's going on, but not enough to signal somebody to like, hey, what's that sound? So you just imagine two children, like the glow of the TV, we're talking about like the lard boob tube, like glow of the TV, just listening as intently as possible as people to like set phasers for stun. It's like, yes, all right, yeah, this is what we want. But eventually we did get caught. And I remember telling mom, I was like, well, you said 10 p.m., but you didn't say, you know, what time zone. Technically, 10 p.m. Central is only 9 p.m. over there. So we were in bed by 10 p.m. Central time. I thought that was clever. Mom and dad did not think it was as clever. And so I bring that up because I think sometimes that's how we treat authorities. We kind of pick and choose how we want to submit to them. We do it when it's convenient to us. We do it when we are not inconvenienced by it, when we're not frustrated by it, when we don't think it's unfair, totally 100% behind them. But I think when it comes to the government, we sometimes are frustrated at them. Sometimes we don't want to submit because we don't agree with them. We don't think they're right. And whether you're conservative or liberal, whether you're Republican or Democrat, whether you're pro-American, super patriotic, or whether you're like, I kind of live here because I'm here, I think there's always an aspect of the government that, you know, that frustrates us. We live in a government where it's not us against the government. There's always two sides of the government. There's always one side that's for this and against that, for this and against that. And there's compromise that goes along. And so regardless of where you stand on the government, there is something that frustrates us. There's something that annoys us, something that really grinds our gears when it comes to the government. And so with that, I've got 3 points, because Paul in this message is trying to tell us to submit to government. But what does that exactly mean? So if you're taking notes and you love the 3-point sermon, here are my 3 points. You know, what does it mean to submit to the government? What does it mean to submit to the government? If Paul is saying submit, well, what do you mean by submit, Paul? What is he telling his readers at that time about submitting? Secondly, okay, why do we submit? If this is what it means to submit, why are we doing this? What exactly are you trying to tell us to do? Why should we do this? And then thirdly, how do we do this? How do we submit? How do we submit in our modern day and age? If we are called to submit and we're told why we're submitting, well, how do we do that then? As modern, 20th century people, 20th century Christians, how do we submit to that then? What are the things that we're supposed to be doing when we submit to the government? So let's dive into that first point. What does it mean to submit? What does it mean to submit to the government? Paul is really saying, do good. If you turn to me to verses 3-4, Paul kind of lays out what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to do good. For rulers are not terrors to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Paul's saying, if you don't want to be afraid of those who are in authority, then do what is good. You will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is a servant of the Lord, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on wrongdoers. What are we supposed to do? How do we submit? We're supposed to do good. Paul is telling this to a congregation of Jewish Christians who are in Rome. And if you don't know much about history of Rome at that time, basically they were under the Emperor Nero. Nero was not, if you're a history buff, not the greatest of emperors. He would eventually learn go to persecute Christians. But in his beginning reign, he was kind of okay. But before that was an emperor called Claudius. And Claudius pretty much took all the Jews at one point and just pushed them all out of Rome. He uprooted them and relocated them, moved them out of the city because he feared that they would riot, that they would rebel. And so he moved them out. And so now, as they're reading this letter, some of them are just returning to Rome. Some of them are just coming back home to their family, to their friends, to where they used to live after being forced out for a long time. And so you can imagine that they probably don't have the greatest sentiment when it comes to the government. They're probably not super like, yeah, Emperor Nero, love that guy. Just, they're probably super bitter in some ways about the government, and they don't have great stances on it. And Paul here is telling them, okay, submit to the government and do good. All right, Paul, well, what do you mean by do good? What is that played out to? And that kind of comes down to verse 7. Pay to all what is owed to them. So what is Paul saying? Submit. How do you submit? By doing good. What is this good? Giving to all those what are due. And we'll break that down a little closer towards the end, but it's this idea that if we're to submit, we're supposed to do good. Why are we supposed to do good to this government? What does that mean? Paul also kind of builds this idea of what the government is. He builds this idea of what it looks like. It's supposed to be an agent of good. It's supposed to be for the people. It's supposed to punish evildoers. And if you're a Jewish Christian reading this, you're like, I don't know if I agree with that. You're telling me to obey this government that forced us out. You're supposed to obey this government that took us from our homes, that told us to leave, who have many times in our history being here have squashed rebellions, killed family and friends, who have taken some of us as slaves. We're supposed to do good to this government. We're supposed to obey this government. We're supposed to hold on to that. I don't know if I could do that, Paul. I don't know if that's even right to do that. But this is the image that Paul builds. Paul saying that this is what the government is in the eyes of God. It is something that's for the people, that is an agent of good, that is supposed to correct evil and wrongdoing. And even as some of us sit here, we're like, Ryan, that's hard to follow. That's hard to agree with. There's so many things that I disagree with the government. Or maybe you're sitting on the opposite end. It's like, yeah, I'm totally for you. Yes, Ryan, that's right. Obey the government. Follow the government. But it's this idea of complete submission. It's not a partial submission. It's not a submitting to certain parts that we enjoy or certain parts that we agree with. It's everything. We're talking about from the highs to the lows. We're talking about from all the way to the presidency to even to like the MBTA driver who's technically part of the government. You're supposed to submit completely to all of that. This is what Paul's asking. And it's not an easy thing to do, right? He's asking for a complete submission, to do good to all aspects of the government, to do good to every part of the government. Okay? Fine, Ryan. Submit, do good, I'll do that. But why should I do that? What are the reasons? And so this is the second point. Why submit? I think Paul gives us two reasons why we should submit. And to be frank, it's kind of scary. It's kind of hard to swallow this idea, but submit because fear of the Lord's wrath and because of conscience. If we look at verse 5, Paul lays out these very reasons. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. What in the world do you mean by that? So I'm supposed to submit to the government because I'm afraid. Because I'm afraid that God's wrath is going to come. And then on top of that, I'm supposed to do it in conscience. What does that mean by conscience? What I mean by that is we're supposed to do it because we think it's right, because we know it's right. And that is somewhat jarring. That's somewhat uncomfortable. We don't like that idea. You're telling me I'm supposed to submit because I'm afraid of God. And then on top of that, because I know it's the right thing to do. And some of you are thinking like, but Ryan, what about all those governments that, you know, have done heinous things, who've committed atrocities? I want you to take that thought. If your mind is like my mind, where it's a stove, you've got multiple burners in the front, I'm going to take that pot and put that right in the back there. Turn it to low because you don't want to burn it. But we're going to come back to that thought. What about those governments that, you know, we camp out there, you can't submit to, that aren't, you know, agents of good, that aren't for the people, that aren't, you know, punishing wrongdoers? What about those governments? Hold on to that thought. We're going to come back to that. But fear the Lord. This is the first argument that Paul gives us. Fear the Lord. I think part of the reason why actually we struggle with this idea is because, if we're frank, we don't really fear the Lord. We're not really afraid of God's wrath that will come if we resist the government. We're not really afraid of what's going to happen. When I was younger, as I think of more stories of how my family has punished me for things that I've done wrong, my father, there was this time in my life in middle school where I was probably less obedient. This was after the whole staying up late to like later middle school year where I've learned to, in full rebellion, to not listen to parents, to do poorly in school and just do whatever I want. And so one day I remember Dad comes to my room. It's late at night. He's knocking on the door. He goes, Ryan, I want you to bring all your magic cards out and we're going to shred them tomorrow. I've told this story to many people. And so if you don't know what magic cards are, there's trading cards that have like cool art and numbers on them. They're pretty expensive, so not a hobby to get into. But this consumed my life in middle school. Every day, like friends revolved around it, my money revolved around it, everything revolved around it. And so my father, in an act to kind of, I guess, punish me and bring kind of correct things that were wrong in my life, said, bring them out, we're going to shred them. Of course, I looked at him and was like, okay, whatever. Because in my mind, I wasn't afraid that Dad was going to do it. I didn't think he was actually going to do it. I didn't fear the fact that he was actually going to punish me. But lo and behold, I wake up, 8 a.m., there he is with the paper shredder right out there. He's like, bring the most expensive ones first. And when expensive, we're talking about like hundreds of dollars of worth of cards, just right through the paper shredder. Every single one of them. Every single one of them. To the point where the machine overheated. We had to stop, take a break, go get lunch, and then come back and keep shredding. And I bring this up because if I truly feared what my father had said that night before, I can guarantee you I would have acted differently. I would have begged, I would have pleaded, I would have repented, I would have said, Dad, I'm sorry, 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 please don't do this. Forgive me for being a terrible son, forgive me for disobeying, forgive me for, I would have, if I truly feared my father's punishment and judgment that would come, I would have acted differently. But because I wasn't afraid, because I truly didn't think he would carry through on what he said he was going to do, I dismissed it. I dismissed it up until the very moment where it was actually happening. And I think sometimes that's where we are with fear of the Lord's wrath. Are we really afraid of God bringing judgment on us if we resist certain parts of the government? Are we really afraid when we defy the government in different ways, whether big or small? Are we truly afraid of that? I frankly think sometimes we're not. I know honestly, I'm not sometimes. I don't really think about, oh, God's going to judge me if I disrespect this officer in my mind. God's going to judge me and bring wrath upon me if I laugh at a meme about our president. Am I really afraid of God's coming wrath? But on top of that, Paul's saying that that's also not the basis on why we should submit. Not only because of the fear of God's wrath, but also because of conscience. Because we know it's right. And even that is difficult. To know that it's right, to know that we truly believe that submitting to the government regardless is the right thing to do. And I think part of the reason we don't think it's right is because, well, we just don't agree with God. We think that we are better judged of our government, of how policies should be, of how things should go than God is. We think that we know better. We believe that we know better than. And that is just a difficult thing to adjust to. That's a difficult thing to grasp, is this idea that I think I know better than God. And we might not be obvious about it. We not even realize that we do that. Like, right, I don't think I'm better than God. But do we, though? Because I think that ties into that first part of the fear. If I truly think that God is right in establishing who he has decided to establish, wouldn't I not be afraid of what he has to do? Wouldn't I not be afraid of the wrath that might come for disobeying him? And I think the reality is that we think that we're right. We're confident that we know better. We're confident that we believe that this is the better thing. That we know that if the government says this, that can't be right. This is what they say about this, about these topics. Idiots, all of them. Or maybe we do agree with them, but it's like, oh, the other side doesn't understand. They're fools. But I think at some level, it's us judging. That's us saying that we know better. That's us saying that we have the better idea, that we know a better way to lead and judge people, that we have a better way of being agents of good, that we have a better way to serve the people. But do we? And brings to this question of, you know, who's in control? And so now, if your mind's still in this stove mentality, let's bring that back pot to the front burner now and turn it on to high. What about those heinous governments, Ryan? What about those governments that have done atrocities across the world? We just have to look at history, right? Look at history and look at all the things that they've done. You know, American slavery, Nazi Germany, apartheid in South Africa. What about those governments? You're telling me that I need to submit to those governments because of fear and because it's right? You're kidding, right, Ryan? That can't possibly be what God's asking me to do. I'll say immediately right now that this passage is not the end-all, be-all passage when it comes to government. That this is not the only word that the Lord has spoken about what it means to interact with the government, what it means to submit to the government, what it even means to defy the government in some ways. But what I will say is this. Are we not, it's like we are supposed to do good according to Paul. And I think part of that is, do we know who's in charge? Who do we say is in charge? I think the reason why we bring up those versions of government is because we think that they're in charge. We think that they are the ones who are in control. But the reality is God saying that, no, I'm in control. I'm the one who has established these people. I'm the one who has brought them to power. And as a wise mentor told me, if God can establish these governments, the inverse must be true. God can bring these governments down. Because these governments are also subject to God. If we are subject to these governments are subject to God. And their purposes are these three things: to be agents of good, to do good and take care of the people, and to punish and avenge wrongdoing and evil. If a government is not falling into those lines, do we not believe that God will rectify that, will bring that to correction? And I think the problem is we struggle with that because we don't think that God will. Because in some ways, we are not seeing God do it in our time. We're not seeing God bring it to fruition. We're not seeing God making it happen. And so we stand there and think, hey, God, what's up? Where are you doing this, God? Where are you, you know, moving these nations? And so I think it all comes back to this question of who's in control? Who's in charge? Who do we really believe, you know, establishing and building it? Do we think it's us? Do we think it's the people who are in charge of the government? Or do we think God is behind it all? So, if you're following along so far, we've talked about what does it mean to submit? Submit means to do good. What does it mean to do good? It means to give to the government what's due to them. And then why are we supposed to do this, Ryan? Why are we supposed to submit to this government? Why are we supposed to hold fast and hold on to this? And the idea here is that we're supposed to hold on to the government. We're supposed to submit to the government, I mean, because fear of the Lord's wrath, and because of conscience, because we know it's good. And if these are the things that we're supposed to hold on to, we're supposed to believe in this, how do we do that then, Ryan? How do we get there? How do we build that up? How do we make that happen? Well, I think it breaks down to two things. I think it breaks down to tangibles and intangibles. How do we give to the government what is due to them? How do we give to the government what is owed to them? If you look at the verse 6 to 7. So, for because of this, you also pay taxes. For authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Respect to whom respect is owed. Honor to whom honor is owed. These four things kind of break down to two things, tangibles and intangibles. Tangibles being taxes or revenue. What does that look like for the Jews at the time? It was paying taxes to the tax collectors, giving revenue to those who provide government services. And the intangibles, respect and honor, giving respect and honor to those who are in the higher positions, for those who are serving. So what does that look like for us today? Oh, I don't think it changes too much. Pay taxes. But that means all of it. So if you ever go shopping in like New Hampshire and you buy like a nice large big screen TV, paid no sales tax on that, you bring it back to Massachusetts, you got to report those taxes because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to give what the government's due. I know I have many times gone to New Hampshire and not paid that sales tax to Massachusetts back. But that's what one of the things we're supposed to do. Revenue where revenue is due. What does that look like? Again, I bring up the MBTA because this is probably one of the branches of government that I struggle to respect and love the most. But that means maybe that T-Pass. That T-Pass is meant for one person. If you get a monthly pass, you're not supposed to share that technically. But do we share that? Do we give that to other people? Do you like, here, just take it. It's not a big deal. But are we really actually not giving what's due to the government? And then I think the last part is respect and honor. How do we give respect where respect is due and honor where honor is due? I think this one's probably the hardest for us. Because the other ones are rules and things that we can do, and I think those can be fairly easy, fairly straightforward. Okay, fine, Ryan, I'll make sure I report my taxes. I'll make sure that when I hit one-click buy on Amazon, I'm reporting the sales tax for Massachusetts. Fine, I can do that. It's an extra like 5% anyway. Not a big deal. You know, okay, fine, I won't share my T-Pass with other people. If people ask me, I was like, I just won't share. I can do that. But what about that second half of respect and honor? This means respect and honor in all aspects. That means respect and honoring the government in everything that we do. Not just in what we say, not just in how we act, but in our hearts and our minds. Are there times where, you know, we are thinking about the government, we're thinking, wow, I can't believe these people are doing it this way. And at some levels, we don't really respect their answer. We don't respect their authority. We don't respect the fact that they made these laws, that there have been people who, with good hearts and minds, have decided and thought with much diligence that maybe this is the best law that we can create and this is the best we can bring. But instead we criticize and maybe we think, oh, what are these are fools. Or maybe in the comfort of our own home, as we talk about politics with friends or with families, and we probably maybe speak poorly of the government. Or maybe we're just on the internet browsing Reddit or something, for those who browse Reddit. Are we laughing at those internet memes, those jokes about, you know, certain presidents or certain leaders of ours that do certain things that maybe we don't agree with? Are we making fun of them? Are we poking fun of them? Is that really giving the respect and honor that their position demands? How are we learning to respect and love the government in that way? Paul is asking for a lot. Paul's asking for us to respect across the board, on the widest range. Again, from the highest to the lowest authority, from the emperor all the way to the tax collectors, Paul is asking us to do the same, from our president to even to those who work for the government on the lowest settings. We are supposed to submit to them completely and fully. And the example we have to follow is Jesus. Jesus, who was beaten, mocked, and scorned by an authority that wrongfully accused him, that told him that he had broken many laws, that he was in violation, even though he knew he wasn't. But he respectfully and honorably gave what was due to the government. You know, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. How can we be like Jesus? Submitting to the government and authorities that are above us. Submitting to those who are, maybe we don't necessarily agree with. How can we do that respectfully? How can we do that honorably? How can we be like Jesus in that sense where even though he knew that the authorities above were in the wrong, not correct, still treated them with the respect that they were supposed to be treated with, who gave to them what they were due? How do we do that? How can we be that? What does that look like in our day-to-day lives? Maybe that looks like how we talk about it with our friends and family. Maybe that's how we pray about it. Do we pray for our, you know, do we pray for our government? Do we even sometimes care? That just means we can't just be apathetic about it. It can't be something that, hey, it's whatever. As long as it doesn't interfere with my life, it's fine. It means we have to engage with it. It means we have to get involved with it. We can't just sit by and let it happen. We have to be part of it, engaged in it. And where is this room for the civil disobedience? I think we have to respectfully understand, you know, what God has established, who is in control. How do we give to God what is God's, you know, to the government, what's the government? How do we give what's due to everyone? And know that this is not the end-all be-all of what the Bible has to say about the government. But truly, this is a place where we are told what the government's supposed to be. It's supposed to be an agent of good. It's supposed to serve the people, and it's supposed to correct and punish those who do evil and wrong. So how can we do that in our day-to-day lives? How can we submit to that in full authority, knowing and trusting in fear of the God, and knowing that this is actually the right thing to do? This is what we're supposed to be doing. How can we do that? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, this topic of government is such a tricky topic, Lord. It's hard to sometimes say, like, you're asking us to submit completely, to submit fully to everything, even the governments we don't agree with, Lord. Yes, we're asked to submit to these things, Lord. And so I pray that as we understand what it means to submit to the government, Lord, understand to submit to the things that you have established, the things that you have created, the things that you have brought to power, Lord. Let it remind us that you're the one who's in control. Remind us that you are the one who's in charge, that you are the one who set these up, Lord, and that they too submit to you. Not only do we submit to them and to you, Lord, as the highest authority, but they submit to you, Lord. And so remind us, Lord, who truly is in control. And remind us to do good as we submit and give to the government. Pray this in your son's wonderful name. Amen.